Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. I hope I get a jobby, Freddy. I got my fingers crossed.
Doing the job.
You got the job, buddy.
Doing the job.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan.
Doing the job.
Just say something, you idiot.
Doing the job podcast.
It's got to be special.
I like it.
Doing the job.
This show is so stupid.
He's stupid. He's so stupid.
I know how to do the job. Shut the f*** up.
I hate this job.
Doing the job.
Doing the job.
Doing the job.
This is doing the job.
Top of the hour, coming at you, DTJ, doing the job, a wrestling podcast.
Wubba lub dub dub, fucking Pickle Rick.
You're hearing the voice of Jenny Lugs, and along with me, M2J, we are your hosts.
What up, you cunts?
That's not nice.
It's just such a nice word. Has a lovely ring to it.
Yeah.
So much power and authority in that word.
I don't know about power or authority.
I don't know.
It's got a strong consonant or two.
Random adjectives, descriptive words. Sip for the working man.
Sip of water for the working man. I'm loaded up on Kratom tea right now, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, you know what I finally gave up? Like, I just finally stopped. I can't say for life, you know. I've quit cigarettes for life, and I've been doing good with the energy drinks. I quit the energy drinks.
Oh, good. I'm proud of you.
It's almost like 2 months. I haven't had one, and I really was all about them, and I still love them dearly. I just can no longer. If I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be like, I don't need fucking, you know, low carb and bread's the devil and I don't drink soda and all that bullshit, I can't sit here, you know, judge everybody's diet while I'm sipping on fucking death, you know?
Mm.
Just straight poison for your body.
Well, you know what? I never knew before until like a couple of weeks ago that caffeine has a half-life of 6 hours. So I stopped drinking caffeine now, like, around noon, like, with the intention of going to bed around midnight, and okay. I sleep way better now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, sometimes I have coffee and I'm ready to go. Other times I could fall asleep with the cup in my hand still, so it's really, yeah. Like, it's a crapshoot. I don't really.
But
it doesn't matter.
But, like I said, I'm on Kratom tea right now, so I'm feeling really nice.
What's Kratom tea? What kind of gimmick is this?
Kratom is some kind of opioid root that they make into a tea, and it makes you feel...
Oh, don't have that.
Why not?
Why are you doing that?
I don't know. You're a doctor. I'll Google it later and tell me if
I'm
it's
not a
kill me.
Doctor. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, you are. You're a doctor. Anyway, we could talk about tea and coffee all day long. You know I love those topics, but we had a big fucking weekend of tons of fucking wrestling.
Yeah, let's wrestling. A lot.
I mean, I want to talk about NXT.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the main thing. Not only was it the first thing chronologically, it was the best thing.
Well, for you.
Most exciting thing.
For you.
For me.
Yeah, the first thing chronologically was Joey Janela's Lost in New York, which was the second best show of the week.
Oh, I meant chronologically of the things that matter.
Well, it absolutely matters.
Well, I mean, yeah, you went to that, right, I imagine, because that's not something you could just watch.
I was there. You can watch. I think it was either on Powerbomb or Fight. I forget which one, but it was accessible.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I got to see Joey Janela versus Hakushi.
Hakushi?
Yep.
You mean Jinsei Shinsaki, or yep. Did he go by Hakushi?
No, he went by Jinsei, but he was there. Also, wow. The Sandman made an appearance. That was awesome.
Oh, wow.
Sabu wrestled the match.
Really?
And we also got introduced to a fellow named Marco. It was an open challenge from Kyle the Beast. Marco came out of the audience. He looks like he weighs about 100 pounds soaking wet.
I know where this is going.
And
I heard about this.
Okay. And it was great because, like, you're like, okay, this guy's like, I mean, I think he's actually like in his early 20s, but he just like has a very youthful appearance to him. And,
yeah, young boy, really small guy.
And Kyle the Beast asked him, kid, how old are you even? And Marco replied, old enough to fuck your mom. And, which was just a great response.
The greatest response ever.
And
that's
then,
like that's the best.
And then they tore the house down. They had a great match. And I believe Marco is going to be either at StarCast or he's going to be involved at All In or something like that now.
All right. Well, I will follow up with that as I watch the continuing show on Cody's YouTube called All Us. I watched that earlier today. And that's how I heard about this, because he mentioned some small little kid named Marco.
Yep.
Who, look, he said he was at Janela's gimmick, and he had a great showing. He tore the house down. He turned heads, was Cody's exact words. And he goes, why would I not want someone who turns heads? That's the whole point about this. And he's going to be there. He's going to be in the Battle Royal, where the winner faces Jay Lethal. It's like a pre-show Battle Royal, I think. Or not a pre-show, but it's like, I think the first bit of All In's going to be on TV.
Oh, yeah, like the first hour of it or something.
It's on whatever America, Destination America, some shit like that, or whatever, some shit. And that's going to be early in the night and probably the opener. And the winner faces Jay Lethal later in the night for the ROH title. So, yeah, I don't think there's something in this film. But Jay Lethal's once again.
My man, Ethan Page, is going to be in that. And that's who I'm rooting for. I'm going there with an Ethan Page shirt.
Ethan Page is in that.
Yes.
All right, Ethan Page. Yeah, I heard him.
I fucking love Ethan Page. Actually, got to chat with him a little bit at All In.
All In didn't happen yet, so
at
I don't
All
know.
In, lost in New York. Sorry, I'm on kratom.
Yeah. So, why are you drinking something with an opioid in it?
Because it makes me feel good.
Yeah. So does heroin, but
yeah, but that's like that'll kill you to death.
Kill you to death.
Yep.
Fucking computer, god damn it, man.
Hey,
Jesus.
As long as we can hear each other, you're good.
It's like a simple process. I don't understand. There you go. There we go. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue. So you watched that show. Anything else standing out from that show?
It was Matt Riddle's, I don't know if it's his last indie appearance, but, you know, it was...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which, it absolutely was, because he was on NXT the next night. Or the
I mean, I don't
night.
Know. He might have some bookings, like, left. You know, sometimes they do that. Like,
no, he's done.
He's completely done? All right.
He's done.
So check this out. Check that. You're gonna fucking love this story, Daddy.
I am?
Yeah.
Okay, sitting, I love story.
Sitting behind me at NXT was a wrestling fan.
He was fat and smelly? Because usually you have the... So there was this guy at a wrestling show, and it's usually he's fat and smelly.
I will say this. I don't think he was smelly. Anyway, he was... I usually don't, like, beef with people in the audience. Like, it's just not my...
I do, because... Yeah.
But he was chanting these things that were really fucking obnoxious, and he was getting on my nerves. And, for example, Deonna...
That's the shit I can't stand. That's the stuff where I will start a fight with someone.
Yeah.
It's like, stop that. That's unacceptable. No one wants to chant that. Just shut the fuck
right.
up.
So,
you know?
Deonna Purrazzo was wrestling, and... Yeah. He chants, "We want Marty," and I turned around and I'm like, "Stop it! Like, what's the matter with you? Like, that's just disrespectful." And,
yeah, no one's gonna chant that. No one can, like,
right.
it serves no purpose towards the show.
But he's and he tried to make like a few like indie references throughout the show to like you know to show everybody that he knows a lot about professional wrestling.
You just gotta shut those guys down, like we do all the time. It's just like, we get it. You know things.
So here,
have people laugh at them, and then that's when they quiet up.
Well, so here's the thing. So. Yeah. Between segments on NXT, I saw like they had a camera crew with a light, like, and they were showing somebody how to, like, you know, helping somebody get to the front to show them, and I could see the hat and the long hair. So I see it's Matt Riddle, and I'm like, I think that's Matt Riddle. And then when they came back, that was when they showed him, and we all like jumped up and cheered, and like a lot of people obviously in the arena knew who he was because it's the NXT crowd, and we all started chanting bro, and this guy who's making all these little dumb indie references all night goes, who is that? And I was just like, yeah, you're full of shit, buddy. You just
yeah, come, like, listen, I don't know, claim to know everything, and I have seen a little bit of Matt Riddle. I've seen a couple matches, but, you know, I don't watch a whole lot of indie wrestling beyond, like, the major things, you know, which it's funny because it's like they say the two big indie things is, like, ROH and New Japan, and they're both, like, in my eyes, not technically indie companies whatsoever, but
they're
just... They just call everything that's not WWE indie, and it's like they're both like major corporations.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so,
but
like I know who the fucking Matt Riddle is. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. So That was funny. And then do you know or follow Queen of the Ring on Instagram?
I believe you know the answer to that question.
I don't. But
I have no idea what that is.
I mean, yeah. When you say you have no idea what that is, you mean Instagram. But
no.
Yeah. Yeah. She posted that there was these two guys sitting behind her at and they had both had Bullet Club shirts on.
Is this a wrestler or is she just like a fan?
Yeah, you know, it's like a super fan like us.
All right.
Like everybody kind of like, you know, everybody in the New York wrestling community knows who she is. So she posts this picture of it was like a selfie with these two guys with Bullet Club shirts behind her. And she asks them if they were going to watch or go to All In. And they went, what's that?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Right. It's just like it's sad.
I know. It sucks. It sucks that, like, people make me not want to wear my Bullet Club shirt out places when it's like kind of. No, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I had it super early, because if I was early and I would have fucking been in tune with the shit in like 2013 when it started and 2014 and all that shit and like Prince Devin and stuff, like I had seen shit, but I wasn't like super into it or following it. But like I remember kind of buying, I guess I probably got my first like Bullet Club shirt like right when it kind of started blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to do the hipster, like, hey, I was wearing it before it was cool. I definitely wasn't. I got one, like, right as it started being a thing.
Right.
And, you know, and I was kind of wearing it before it was super everywhere, where it was popular enough, you know. But now it's, like, super everywhere, and it's, like, I don't know. I find myself, like, not wanting to wear it to wrestling shows, but I wear it, like, kind of, like, anywhere else, like, if I'm going somewhere where like I'm out in a social situation where I'm probably not going to be around a whole lot of wrestling fans, because then it'll stand out more.
Yeah.
Instead of just like in a place with wrestling fans where everybody's like, that's the cool thing, I'm going to wear the shirt, which I don't know. It is the cool thing, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not like the cool thing in the obnoxious way. Like, oh, you like Bullet Club too. It's like, of course you like it. It's awesome. It's awesome guys doing awesome shit. And like being the elite is fucking awesome. And like being the elite is like, if my life was different and I became a fucking pro wrestler, like working like on anything, that would be like what I would want to do.
You'd
like
be aspiring life to get picked up by the, you know, them.
Well, career. No, I would be I would like be doing what they're doing with being the elite. Like I would like, cause I love to, you know, record like the boys fucking around bullshitting videos and edit them up and make little like funny little fucking thing. Like that's what I would be doing. Like, oh, how can we do our own little funny little angles and like make little videos and put them on YouTube? Like, that's what I admire them, because that's like, that's exactly what I would be doing if I was in their position.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect.
I understand.
Yeah. So it's like, anyway, that's why they're super awesome to me, besides that they seem like good brothers and they're great wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the matter at hand.
They seem like good brothers. Yeah, they are.
I mean, yeah, you never know. I mean, they're just, you know. Never know who's not a good brother. They've shown enough good brothering for me to kind of like decide that they're good.
Well, have you seen all these things on social media? Like Cody Rhodes is like buying people that like they can't afford.
Yeah.
Yeah. He seems like a sweetheart. I mean, he did buy us all pizza at LaBoom one time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
He's just like a fucking awesome dude. I mean, I've never heard anyone say like in this internet day and age and the podcasts and the YouTube and the videos and everything, like, you know who's a motherfucker. You hear about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no one's ever said a bad word about the guy. So.
Nobody.
I mean, any of those guys, business. Really, in terms of their character. I mean, you could have James E. Cornette all day, like, shit on fucking Kenny Omega for, you know, wrestling a 9-year-old girl.
I love that you call them James E. Cornette, like this is 1993.
Well, do you not know who the fuck I'm talking about?
I know you're talking about. It's just like, you're just Jim Cornette these days, but it's just like, you went all the way back to like.
I'm doing the gimmick, brother. Calling the gimmick. Mean, yeah, well, his name is James. It's his government fucking name.
I understand.
Anyway, I'm going down a rabbit hole. NXT, fucking, like, arguably the best, you know, arguably the best one. I feel like I saw a list. I want to say it was either What Culture or Cultaholic. One of those guys. It was they listed the best all the best takeovers and NOLA was still number one, and a lot of people say it's NOLA, and I don't know, it might be, but I feel like this one's better. I feel like maybe the Gargano match, the main event was better at NOLA, but this, like, the card was more solid a little bit.
I felt like the first three matches of this card were better than the last two.
Okay.
I don't know, just it had a really good flow to it, and I don't know, the last two matches, not that they were bad by any means, they just, like, I don't know, the Gargano-Ciampa thing...
Let's talk about the main event, because I just want to say that I see a lot of, not negativity on this match, like, it's getting rated high, but it's just, they're pointing out, like, everyone seems to have, like, these issues with the match. I love the match. I really, like, maybe it's the weakest of the three main events that they've done, but, like, it holds up just fine with the other two, and it continues the story, and I love it.
We've had multiple no disqualification type matches with these guys now, and it's starting. That's getting tired. Like we didn't even have just like a basic one on one match with them. Like our start was the street fight, and like so it feels like we're having the same match over and over again, and that's getting kind of stale to me. And what I didn't like was this match sort of was just like a copy of the last match in a lot of ways, in that as far as story and progression wise, it wasn't like there was any real change. Like if the story here was that Gargano, let's say, got a hold of himself and didn't like decided that he was not out for blood, like he was gonna like come back to like his white meat babyfacedom and just win the match and go out nobly and like just take the title away from Ciampa. But like they did that thing that he's consumed by rage again and it cost him the match, and it's like they already did that, so what was the point of this?
I guess you're right. Well, let's first of all take into account,
I also feel like the only way this whole thing ends is Gargano ultimately will win this feud, because like what, like Ciampa's just gonna lose the title to someone else, like, so it's like
no. I mean, if you want to go there, I'm going to say that, like, you could still easily tell this story where maybe, like, if now we've had two times in a row where the rage has cost him, in a way, that he finally does something different. Maybe you see it kind of going down the same road the next time, and he does something different to where he makes the right choice, mm-hmm. and then he beats Ciampa, now who's beat him twice, mm-hmm. just barely, and wins the title. Because, okay. I mean, if you're going to do this whole feud and just not give the title to Gargano for this, like, it's... I don't know.
Right.
That would be a mistake. What I'm saying is, first, let's keep in mind that like this was kind of like booked really on the fly almost, because it was supposed to be a triple threat, right? So that was kind of like would have been an easy way to just let them still continue their feud, but not let the spotlight be directly on their like personal, you know, story, just the two of them. They could have the triple threat, and you know, maybe Black could have been involved in the pin, and we could have like, you know, saved maybe like it just kind of feels like the wheels are turning, because they have planned, you know, the next time is the continuation or the finale or whatever. And this was kind of like, yeah, this really wasn't supposed to be, because it's supposed to be with Aleister Black.
Well, also now I've heard that Gargano might actually be injured.
I think it's a work.
Okay.
I think it's kind of a work, because so what happened in the match, right, is that like, and I thought the ending was pretty cool. It was a little ridiculous. I'll put it this way. The ending by itself, like in a bubble as a clip, is fucking awesome, because he is handcuffed, which brings that back to the last match, and he slides, you know, he ends up, he could have just beat him, but he needed to get one more fucking brutal shot in, so he does the knee. But of course, you know, he goes too far with it. He hurts himself doing the knee by running into all the equipment and shit. Fucks up his knee so bad that Gargano can't stand up, but Ciampa could just slide down off the stage, and he's standing on his
feet.
Which was kind of bullshit, right?
Well, it was also a nice... It was also a nice touch, because theoretically, Ciampa could have just stayed down, and it would have been a draw, and he would have kept the title.
Right.
But just that, like, added, like, oh, he stood up also. He wins.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you could say, like, the whole idea of the... That's not really standing up. That's one thing... Right.
Well, but, I mean, it was. I mean, technically.
Right. Technically. Okay. But like, here's the thing, though. Here's the one thing I would have done differently about this whole match is that I love the match. I love the whole fucking match. It's great. That happened like two other times where he slid out of the ring and was on his feet. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't have done that at all. I wouldn't have done that. I would have made you not even think that was a possibility to happen. I'm not going to say that I saw it coming, But like as he was doing it, I'm like, oh yeah, he could just, oh yeah, there he goes. You know what I mean?
See, so I didn't really see it. I just figured again, like as long as Gargano is down for 10, that's it. That like whatever happens, like even if it's a draw, Gargano does not win. But then I just lost sight of his positioning, and when he just like was just up, it was like, oh.
Yeah, he had done it. I want to say more than once, but definitely I recall at least once where he was dead and then just kind of rolled out of the ring and then was on his feet to like at the 10 count, like, you know, when he was at 9. So I wish they hadn't had done that at all and just not make you think, like I said, not make you think that was a possibility. And then it was like, oh, shit. So then you could still, after that question, like, can you really do that? Blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, Gargano could get up. No. I mean, like, make it the controversial ending, or make.
Are you saying in kayfabe make that? Okay, I see.
No, kayfabe. I'm talking kayfabe. So I'm just saying, you know, like that'd be the only thing I'd do different, because like him, like, you know, showing that Gargano was beat up and he couldn't stand up, and he's standing there with holding the title. Great shot, great image, great storytelling. Still, I think we're getting worked with the injury because they said it during the show. They came out and the announcers were like, "Oh, they're saying he has a dislocated knee." Like, they were saying it then and there.
Oh, okay.
Like, you're telling me a doctor came out and he made the diagnosis and it got back to the announcers, just like that.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then Triple H on the – I listened to the whole – that early that morning, I listened to the conference call, which he's been doing now, like a pre-show, like I think like the day before or a couple days. And like right after. So he did the media call or whatever, and he was like, oh, and he's hurt, you know, dislocated knee, whatever. I think it's a work. It's probably like a good way to maybe – get him kind of like wait a little time and not rush into the next match with Gargano. Maybe the next, like the Survivor Series to take over, Gargano beats somebody else. And then maybe that's when, not Gargano, I'm sorry, when Ciampa beats somebody else. And then Gargano maybe shows back up at that point, like he's uninjured anymore, air quotes. And then at the, you know, maybe the Royal Rumble or the WrestleMania show is when he beats him for it or something like that. Like,
okay.
Way to drag it out a little bit. This is just this is what I think is going on.
All right.
And this would be, you know, if they end this off well, in an epic way, I think this might just take the cake, man. Like, over, like, Steen and Generico for, like, just my favorite feud of just, like, because they're just, these three matches, like, I haven't really, besides, like, Okada Omega.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only, it's like one of, main events. It's like one of the only feuds I could think of right now that has any juice behind it.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm standing like these series of three matches against like any series of matches with any feud ever. Like I'm putting it up there.
Oh, I mean, like you're like Hulk Hogan and Macho Man, obviously like the best.
They wrestled once.
No, they wrestled a million times.
I'm talking about like, you know, on a pay-per-view, major feud, whatever.
Well, it was a different time. They didn't have as many pay-per-views back then. But, like, you know.
I know.
Remember they wrestled and Buster Douglas was the special ref?
No.
That's right. You've forgotten a lot. Oh, speaking of WrestleMania 4 and things from many, many years ago, Robin Leach died today.
Oh, shit. Get out of here.
Yeah. He was going to present the title to the new champion at WrestleMania 4, and Hulk Hogan did it instead because, you know, Hogan.
Oh, so that was really just Hogan just doing what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to do that.
God bless him.
What a cunt.
I hope one day I'm as successful as Hogan and I can just do whatever I want to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, at the expense of everyone and everything else.
Yeah. Undisputed Era and Mustache Mountain.
Jesus Christ.
Had a killer match. It was great.
Fucking insane, man.
Yeah.
Like... God damn, I don't understand why we can't get a tag match like that on the main roster.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Fuck the main roster. We're done with that shit.
I mean, I'm not done with it. It's just like...
I mean,
you know.
What else can I say about this match? Watch the match. It's a great match. Like,
it really was something special, man. It was just so... Like, everything was just so smooth, so crisp.
There were so many times I thought, like, there was a sequence, and I'm like, okay, well, this match is over now. And then it was like, nope, we got another 5 minutes. And it was like, wow.
Yeah, there's the difference between like, oh, that's the ending, and then it just goes on, and then it like kind of wears out its welcome, where it never did. It wasn't just
right.
Like, you know,
but it wasn't
escalated.
It wasn't, in the grand scheme of things, a very long match. It was 18 minutes, so it wasn't like you know, you a Triple H 38-minute match that, you know, should never happen. And I can't wait to complain about him. But,
I will be the devil's advocate on that because...
You're going to be the devil's advocate on Triple H?
Yeah, because it's really... I don't really have an issue with...
The dude's on fucking TV acting like he hasn't wrestled a match, like, in, like, 8 years.
Okay, well, all right, hold on. The rest of TakeOver. Fucking... Okay. You said you weren't feeling the women's match that much. It was a decent story. I like Kairi Sane. I'm not a big fan of Baszler, but the match was still good.
Well, you just skipped over two matches.
I know. Well, I'm bouncing around.
Okay. No, wasn't that I wasn't feeling it. I don't know. I didn't feel like it had a lot behind it. It just was kind of like we've arrived at this match.
Yeah.
I thought Baszler had this, and I was really shocked that because everybody seemed to think because they're doing the Mae Young Classic they want to show that the woman that won the Mae Young Classic is now the champion, and I thought of it the other way, that it was Shayna Baszler exercising that demon that she could defend her title successfully against Kairi Sane, even though they apparently had a match on like NXT TV at some point, like a throwaway, and Shayna Baszler won that. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess that takes that.
So down. Yeah, we don't need to do that.
So Velveteen Dream and EC3.
Standard, decent, solid match.
For some reason, I really liked this match. It was well received in the audience, live. So I don't know. Everybody watched it on TV doesn't seem to have the same opinion of it. And I had a lot of fun with this match. And the thing I'm confused about is I thought that both of these guys were heels. But
yeah, they kind of are.
But then I also thought that this is both these guys are heels, but Velveteen is kind of like on the precipice of like being babyface.
Because he's so over.
But apparently what I'm hearing is that EC3 is supposed to be a babyface?
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess he is supposed to be a babyface, where it's like, he shouldn't be.
But, the crowd was solidly behind Velveteen. It wasn't even like...
100%.
Yeah. What'd you think of his tights, the Call Me Up Vince thing?
Yeah, it was awesome.
There was...
nobody knew. He just did that.
I've heard, you know, I mean, that could be bullshit. For some reason the TVs, the displays in the Barclays Center wasn't showing this match, so we actually didn't know what his tights said until like they finally put this. At some point you hear the crowd chant like turn the screen on or something like that.
I saw that. Yeah.
So yeah, it was a little bit.
Saw that was going on.
A little bit discombobulating, but
yeah.
All right. So did you think Ricochet and Adam Cole was match of the night?
No, I actually like the main event and the tag match more, but that doesn't mean I dislike this match. Match was great.
This match was fantastic.
Match was great. And I'm not big on Ricochet, but like there wasn't flippity doos for the sake of everything.
You know, anybody that's criticized him
was solid.
Anybody that has criticized him in the past of being Mr. Flippy shit, like, has to like put that to bed now because he doesn't do that in WWE.
No, yeah. Although I do roll my eyes with the, I mean, I could justify it though, but I do roll my eyes where he kind of like he does like the Tajiri handspring and then backflips and then lands in the pose. But like in defense of it, it wasn't like I hate it like when he had a million matches with Ospreay and they both would do it and just stand there and like it was kind of cool the one time, but then they did it like 50 more times. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like it makes no sense. Like you wouldn't do that if you're trying to fight someone. But like Cole went out to the outside and he did that to taunt him. So like that was like, OK, well, that makes sense. Like you would do like, hey, look how fucking awesome I am. Fuck you. Get back in the ring. You know, like that. Like I get it, you know.
Now the spot that everybody keeps talking about in this match was like the mid moonsault that Adam Cole kicked him, super kicked him.
And it took me a million tries, but I finally like off my phone while watching it got a screen cap of like him landing it right as he's completely like vertical, like upside down.
Yeah,
like I got the screen cap. Looks great. I should put it in the group, but. That's like just a testament to the story they were telling.
Yeah.
Because right before that. He went for a springboard, and it was a matter of like kind of Cole like having him scouted, but Ricochet also kind of anticipating him scouting him because like he did the springboard, Cole went the super kick, but he caught the kick and then like kind of reversed that and then went for the moonsault, but then Cole got him the next time, and it was just like
I thought
smart sequence.
These guys had good chemistry.
it worked out really well. And the ending was dope, too. Because Cole, once again, like when he taunted him, Cole was fucking taking a powder, but he was still on the apron. And then Ricochet, like, this is when it makes sense to do the super flashy shit, because that was the story of it. It was kind of like, Cole's like, well, I took a powder, what are you going to do? And he was like, well, I have the fucking ability to run, leap over the rope, snatch you with a fucking Hurricane Rana, throw you back in, and then hit my finish on you. And that's exactly how he won.
And I can hit my finish on you.
And I can
not,
hit my finish
not
on
finish you. Hit my finish on you.
Do you have a problem with how I said that?
It's just funny. Like,
a little bit, yeah. But I mean, but you see what I'm saying? It was kind of like, I wasn't just like, oh, wow, cool, move. It was, I'm just sitting there like, oh, this is just making sense, you know, like, wow.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah. It was like just one of those matches where it just, you know, it had the flashiness, but it also told the story, and it was like the right mix of both, with two good wrestlers. And, you know, I always like kind of gave Ricochet the business. I never said he was the shit. I just wasn't like, you know, he didn't really like do it for me, but now I'm kind of like, okay, you're doing it, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it.
So that was NXT TakeOver.
Trying not to be a curmudgeon.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I just posted, by the way, in our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doingthejob, a picture of the Sandman hitting Stokely Hathaway with the Singapore cane. And It's a picture that I took, my camera, and my super awesome photo skills. So...
Oh, yeah, you're just so awesome.
I'm pretty awesome.
All right, so SummerSlam. So this show is awesome. It's just like every takeover. It's fucking awesome. Oh, yeah, that's a good shot.
Thank you. Look at that. Yeah.
He broke that motherfucker right over his head, too.
He did, yeah. I got a lot of good shots from the show. I've been posting them on Twitter, twitter.com/M2J, everybody.
It looks like Sandman's wearing an SCU shirt.
I'm guessing the Sandman is in recovery because he didn't drink any of the beers. He just poured them in the audience members' mouths. So,
yeah, you know, he's getting old. You got to take it easy. You got to watch the carbs too, the calories and the carbs.
Yeah,
you know, you can't just be slinging beers all the time.
Yeah, for 20 years.
So, I mean, SummerSlam it was okay. You know.
There's just a lot of weird booking, weird pacing,
weird stuff. Yeah. It's just too fucking
also,
long.
It is too long. Hindsight being 2020, also there was a lot of weird decisions made or decisions that probably could have been made better. All right, so the pre-show, CN and Vega versus Lana and Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
So, Vega and CN won. And then 2 days later on SmackDown, they had the same match again, and Rusev and Lana won.
Yes, I mean, like, I don't really care. Yeah. I don't know why we're talking about it. It means nothing.
I'm just saying, like, shit like that. I mean, it was there. I was there for it, so I'm talking about it.
It just means nothing. So
Cedric the Alexander and Drew Gulak, or Gulak, rather.
Gulak.
I really thought Drew had this. It seemed like it was the right time, but Cedric won, and he won with a roll-up. Actually, I think all three matches on the pre-show ended in roll-ups.
Jesus Christ!
So that shit like that is what I'm talking about.
I didn't watch the pre-show.
I thought for sure the B team was dropping the titles. They didn't. I didn't know they had new music, and I don't like their new music, especially juxtaposed to their prior music. However, I get it because it's a chant that people could do, and they have been doing it. So
yeah, it's a thing. You know, you got to have things. I mean, the whole thing is it's. I don't know what to say. If it's working, so God bless. You know.
Yeah. So the Intercontinental Championship match,
match of the night,
opened the show. Yeah.
First match out the gate match of the
night, which we knew it would be. It was the hot opener and ended up being the best match of the night. And did I say on the show last week that Dean Ambrose is definitely not turning heel at SummerSlam?
I said he would. I think you said he wouldn't. So that, good on you.
Yeah.
Cause obviously on Monday night we had the Shield.
Yeah. Which by the way. So,
Shield again.
So let's quickly digress for a second. Two things I want to ask you.
Yeah.
When ultimately in the night, which, you know, we could just jump on this right now, Charlotte Flair ended up winning that triple threat match. And after the match, Becky, like, attacked her and, you know, like, brutally beat the shit out of her. to a rabid ovation from the crowd.
Can I make a little side note about that moment?
Sure.
They recorded the decibel levels. This was in fucking Forbes. Put this on their website.
Okay.
For the loudest pops of the weekend, I guess not including NXT because it just talked about the main roster shows. Of the three shows from the main roster, number one, as in loudest pop decibel level, was Becky turning on Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, no, the crowd was so happy.
Top of the weekend, not counting right. NXT. So I don't know what that measured up to.
Yeah. So the two things that I heard fans saying since then was that they didn't think this was Becky Lynch turning heel so much that she just beat up Charlotte Flair. And I was like, it was clearly a heel turn. Like, there's no like,
even though SmackDown she came out and cut a heel promo on the crowd, she turned heel.
Now here's what's funny about that. On the YouTube version of that promo, they cut out all of the stuff where she's insulting the fans.
Wow.
They just keep it to she's mad at Charlotte Flair and made it all about Charlotte Flair. So do you think they're throttling back on this one?
I think because she is clearly favored in this scenario. So it's really going to be – you're going to be like kind of traveling against the grain here if you're just going to – much like a lot of the other things they try to push, if you're just going to have her be like this piece of shit heel and beating up Charlotte Flair if everyone's on the side of Becky. Like, yeah, we're tired of Charlotte Flair. Awesome. And we love Becky and we want Becky. So
– yeah.
I'm not saying make Charlotte Flair a big old heel. You just have like these two women, they have an issue and just that's it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe make the roles a little bit more clear defined when you figure out where you want to go. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was a thing. I just wanted, and then the other thing I was hearing is people are taking Monday night, the Shield attacking Braun Strowman, was the Shield turning heel?
No.
Right.
No, that is not a heel turn. They didn't do anything heelish.
Right. I mean, if you want to say that they ganged up on somebody 3-on-1, I guess there's an argument to be made, but like that in no means just that's it, they're heels now.
No, this is just a clear, once again, the Becky thing was supposed to be a heel turn, right? And now maybe, like you said, with the edits they did to the YouTube video, it's like, all right, maybe they're like trying to make it a little bit more gray because of the fan response. But this was clearly like, you know, first of all, the Shield was supposed to be still going on. I don't know about still going on now, but like it was a thing when Dean got hurt. So they're kind of just trying to just kickstart that back up again where they left off, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have Roman as the champ. And what a better idea than, you know, like you. Strowman kind of did, and we'll get to the main event of SummerSlam definitely before I have to leave, but you know, Strowman once again came out and was just like, yeah, I'm still going to cash in my shit, and if you're going to have the Shield, why wouldn't they protect?
Well, and that's the other thing now. I'm also wondering, well, you know, let's go right to the main event right now. We'll backtrack everything. So yeah. They did this thing. Braun Strowman came out. He retained his briefcase in a squash match against Kevin Owens, by the way. Kevin Owens got 0
unfortunately.
Offense.
Like,
he came out and he said, I'm not going to sneak up on anybody. I'm going to tell you what I'm cashing in. Whoever wins this match, I'm going to cash in right now. Which, why didn't he just add himself to the match? That was weird.
If you're the big baby face, now, like, I'm not going to do this thing
now,
sneaky. Then,
now,
right,
listen. Now, my devil's advocate on this is, okay, he could technically say, I had a match already, so it's only fair that you guys have a match, and then, you know, this will be both of our second matches of the evening.
It's not a... You can still be a babyface and be like, hey, listen, I'm going to do it honorably. I'm not going to sneak up, but I also want to take advantage of the situation a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys finish your shit, and then I'm coming in. You know?
So it's cool. Knowing that the crowd was obviously going to shit all over this match,
it was a total smokescreen.
They introduced this, and the crowd all of a sudden was like, okay, we just got to get through this match, and then we have, like, a main event title match to look forward to with Braun Strowman.
And it went 6 minutes.
And we all behaved ourselves, waiting for this match 10 to get to the next match. And as soon as Braun took that first bump, like when I think Roman Reigns like dove out of the ring and nailed him or something like that, I was like, oh my God, Is he not going to be able to cash in for some stupid reason? And like we're all getting bamboozled here, and they're just not chanting like anything through this match. Like this show's just going to end. And oh my god, we had a shitty 6-minute match. For some reason, all it took was like one quick spear, and Roman Reigns is able to pin Brock Lesnar, who's been unbeatable for like 4 years. And they put up the copyright thing and went off. That was it.
Yeah, well, Goldberg beat him, you know. But
you know what I mean, though? Like, that was that, like...
Right, yeah, it came and went, whatever. It's funny how WrestleMania 33 could be a 4-minute, 45-second match that was fucking incredible. And this match was 6 minutes, and it just wasn't. Listen, I really did not like this whole entire scenario because it was so obvious what they were doing. I mean, fucking smart on them.
Well, that was
fucking
the other thing.
Genius on them, really.
I was looking at a Facebook thread about this match, and somebody said something to that effect, which, you know, I do somewhat agree with. You know, oh, like, this was genius. They tricked the audience. And then someone replied, yeah, it's pretty remarkable that instead of just booking something correctly, they instead trick the audience.
Well, not about correctly. It's just like... It's kind of like Jordan. Like, he came at me with, like, oh, this fucking brilliant genius, the trolling, it was hilarious, yada, yada. It's like, yeah, that's fine, but, like, I'd rather just do something that's actually awesome. You don't have to trick and fucking fool people to not, like, shit on something. Like, why couldn't Brock and Roman have done just like WrestleMania 33? 5 minutes of bing, bang, boom, not a million finishers, but, like, legit back and forth, like the way Goldberg and Brock did, where it was like they just hit each other with bombs back and forth, and it was exciting for 5 minutes, not even, and Roman wins clean. Because now look at Brock. If this is truly it and he's done or he's gone, at least for a while, I don't know, he didn't really lose clean because he was throwing the briefcase, he was fucking around with Strowman, he turns around, boom, spear.
But it just was weird, like spear 1 of 3, that's it. Like, there was no, like, fail. Like, how great would it have been if, like, I don't know, just tell some kind of story, like, just have him just, like, whatever he do the thing where everything he does, he can't beat Roman, and then he like, starts freaking out, and Paul, and, like, just think about all, first of all, if this was your plan all along, that Roman Reigns was going to win at SummerSlam, why didn't he just win at WrestleMania or Saudi Arabia? Like, why did we drag, like, what value did we get for like another 4 months of the Brock Lesnar title?
No reason, really, man. And in my eyes, nothing.
And teasing and doing all this shit with Paul Heyman, like pretending that he was going to align himself with Roman. It's like, what was the point? Like, that didn't do anything. And like, we already talked about how they just fucked that up last week, but like, it's just all meaningless.
I think straight up, he was just supposed to win at WrestleMania, and they got the idea in their heads, probably the pettiness about the CM Punk reign, where it's not even the same fucking title, really, right? But they could still say, like, world title level title, you know, now he
has. No, they can't.
You know how they like to fucking,
yeah, but they
you know,
can't. Again, we know they can't. That's it.
I know, yeah. But, like, they like to, with all their stats, yeah. Like, ridiculous.
Because when the rosters reemerge one day and those titles merge back together, that no one will remember the fucking Universal title. Fucking fruit roll up with some plates on it.
It's really not that bad. I don't know why.
I'm just sick of it.
It's the same exact. The WWE title is the same thing, but it's fucking red.
The WWE title is far superior.
It's the same fucking
thing. It's like night and day.
It's the same thing. It's just red.
Nah, it's different.
That's all it is.
Nah, different title.
I mean, if you ask me, they both can fuck off. You know, for. No, I miss big gold. I miss, like, you know, better looking shit.
I do too.
I miss a belt that, you know, wasn't just a big logo with. How do you have a title belt with, like, actual space in it where you just see, like, the letter?
You have negative space in your fucking
title. Yeah, you
have
negative space on it. Like, that's a prize.
Yeah.
Like, fuck out of here. It's supposed to look like a trophy. Yeah, like, but, that, like put onto a belt that you can wear.
Like, look at the IWGP Championship.
Fucking
title.
Gorgeous. Beautiful.
Yeah. It's
big, it's gold, it's got jewels on it.
Jewels.
It has fucking jewels on it.
Jewels,
man.
Betty.
Fucking, I got your jewels. I got your bag of jewels. It's fucking.
You remember the Jeff Hardy title in TNA?
That ugly as fuck.
That was better than the current WWE title.
I draw the line there. I'd rather have the Universal title on my shoulder than fucking that Jeff Hardy title. Even though I like the color purple, but like, god, that shit was so ugly. So ugly.
Like, oh, I draw my little masks. This is
I like it. It looked like the thing in the Strong Bad thing where everything goes, your head explode. It looked like that.
Your head explode?
Yeah.
Well, you're fucked in the head. All right.
So anyway, we have Roman Reigns is the new Universal Champion, and the crowd
just a fucking
hates
waste
it.
Of time.
And I mean,
look, this whole like this angle is like him and Brock from Mania till now. It's just serve nothing. I'm just gonna like Raw is blackout until now. Roman should have just been the champion for a while now anyway. So now I'm just gonna like try to forget about all that and just move forward from here.
Oh wait, I forgot. Sean wanted us to relay a message about this situation here. Remember he messaged us earlier in the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he jumped off his couch in excitement. His black shorts became white.
Mm-hmm.
As in semen. Yes. They got covered in semen.
Yeah, he did.
Semen from him ejaculating because he was so happy. With
Yes. Look, I don't have much time, but I do want to say about the Shield, it's kind of like, Do you think it's a good idea to like do this again? Just keep doing the Shield.
I mean, I guess there's no reason not to. It's just like, I don't know, like, what do you like? What's the end game of this? Is it just that Dean Ambrose is eventually going to turn heel?
I don't know. I mean, I'm at least intrigued for what's going to happen next week with him and Strowman. Like, how do you deal with that? You know?
Yeah.
What's the deal with this? But we got to kind of squeeze. I could probably go a little bit later, but I got to squeeze in a lot of other info. Fuck Daniel Bryan, right? I'm really upset that the crowd was like kind of dead for this. And if they were a little dead for this, they were fucking died a death for Nakamura and Jeff Hardy.
Let me tell you what this was. So we were far into the event at this point, and we're exhausted.
So long.
We don't have a lot of energy left. We were invested in the match. Like everybody was there. Everybody watched the match. Everybody was into it. It's just like it was that combination of like leaning. Everybody was leaning in, enjoying the match, but also tired from. At this point, we were already there for like how long? It was probably like 4 or 5 hours into the show.
Yeah.
It was exhausting. That's an exhausting period to be in. And I was fully convinced that The Miz was going to win. So much so that I wore my Miz shirt to SummerSlam.
Nice. Well, as I was saying, I was talking to someone at the time that it was on live, or at least when I was watching it back, that's match with the three pre-shows, that was match 9 of the night.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a six match on the main show, but there was three before that. So now you're watching the 9th match when it's like typically at a show like that's the main event or it was already done, you know, like a normal fucking show.
You know what bothers me, too, is that the pre-show, which is usually like 2 hours, has like three matches in it and they're scattered. It's like there's like a match at like the first 15 minutes of the pre-show, then the next one isn't until like the top of the hour, and then you're like right before the show starts when we get like that last one. It's just like that's like ridiculous. Like it's spaced out so poor. I hate it. And I always tell people, like, can we just not go to the pre-show? And they're like, well, there's this one match I want to see, and we don't know when it's going to happen.
I never want to go for the pre-show. Like, I
never do either.
Mania, only Mania. But it's funny because that's, like, the only really WWE show I go to every year. But, like, I do, I guess, for Mania because it's kind of like I'm here in this other – like, if I was going to a New York show, I wouldn't go to the pre-show.
Right. Like, I don't
want to – if I was at the Barclays because I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'll get there when I get to whatever. But, like, if at Mania, I'm in the city. It's like, what else am I doing?
Right.
You know
I mean?
I might as well be in the show.
I skipped the pre-show at this WrestleMania. I was at a bar with Michael Payne. And I was like, I'll just go when the fucking show
starts. Oh, yeah. Sick invite, bro.
I think you were invited. You didn't want to come.
No, that's
not
true.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I told you what bar I was at, and you just were like, I'm going to WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to watch the fucking stupid fucking Battle Royals.
I mean, I would have liked to have seen Cedric because, you know, I've seen him at Le Boom, and just seeing him in, like, the Superdome would be, like, a really cool, like, juxtaposition, but...
Yeah, I've seen him in a shitty fucking convention center in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
The ROH show the night before Royal Rumble 2014. And he had a dope... That was when he first kind of, like, turned my head.
He's
he had
so
a
good.
Dope match with... Who the fuck did he have that match with?
How much does he weigh? Could he, like, put on a couple pounds and just be, like a heavyweight?
Well, he used to be big. He really leaned up big time.
Yeah, just eat, like, eat a little bit more, man. Just
can't get up. I could get up and... I don't know who it was against, but he was still big at the time.
Yeah.
And it was... he really did some shit. It was a dope fucking match.
Oh,
I
wait.
Think it was,
he's billed at 205 pounds. He's, like, on the cusp.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, so the Bryan match is really good. I'm not really good, but it was just a solid match. And then the ending was...
I thought it was great. The with the Miz doing the kicks and like Bryan being like, those don't hurt. You're an asshole.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
And I liked the ending because it was very like the story, of course.
Which is exactly what I predicted last week.
He wanted forever to be cleared so he could punch the Miz in the face.
Yeah.
And then the Miz wins by cheating by hitting him by punching him in the face. It actually took me like a day or two to like for that to hit me. I was just like,
yeah.
Oh, wait. He won by punching him in the face, the thing that Bryan wanted
exactly.
to do. Was perfect.
Yes.
Genius. It was genius. And now we're going to have like the mixed tag with the wives at the next pay-per-view and keep it rolling. Good storyline.
Yeah.
And same thing with AJ and Joe. Like, you know, people complaining like, oh, these bunch of DQs. I'm like, listen, that was good for a first match. The match was solid. The crowd was still kind of alive. And it was good. You know, I'll be your fucking daddy. And he snapped, beat the shit out of him, and even the kid saying, "Daddy, you're bleeding," was all good. It all worked out well.
That, yeah,
you know?
That was amazing. Yeah,
excited for the next match. It was well done. I've seen some complaints about it, but it's just like shut up. Just
oh wait. So we skipped wrestling. Over. The New Day had the match with the Bludgeon Brothers, and again, this is one of those things. I mean, I'm guessing this is because Eric Rowan got injured, but the 2 days later, they had a no DQ match, and the New Day won the titles.
Yeah,
so
Rowan's
just
injured. He's out again.
Yeah, and so this combined with like the WWE Championship match ending with the disqualification, it just was like, okay, that was a waste of time. And then you know the few squash matches. Although speaking of the squash matches, so I had this sudden epiphany that we were getting the Demon Finn Balor, like
yeah.
a little bit before the show. I was like, oh my god, like they're gonna and. While it made sense for the story, I was like, this seems like a waste to just throw the demon at Baron Corbin like this. And
but
you know what? Once it actually happened, I really enjoyed it, so I can't really complain about it in good conscience. Like I did enjoy it. I just hope that isn't like, okay, now we won't see the demon for like a year and it's like this was
well, it's a waste to not like, you know, have him like start a feud with someone where he's just getting the shit beat out of him. And then he's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring him back. And then you
build
that excitement.
Well, see,
like
that,
you do that whole angle, but...
No, you see, this is exactly what I was saying last year, that I like that they did a surprise. I like that the heel is standing in the ring freaking the fuck out. Like,
I can't complain.
Exactly what I wanted them to do with Bray, but with Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I can't complain. So... Because it was just like, all right, he's back, and then he got thrust right into the main event against, you know, Roman Reigns the next night. So, okay, maybe this is just kind of like, yeah, I have the power to just squash people, and I'm important again, so we'll just see where it goes.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Now,
and I mean, and Ronda winning, what else can I say?
Well, so what you were saying before about the Shinsuke-Jeff Hardy match, I don't think anybody thought Jeff Hardy was going to win, and that match basically served as the piss break, because we knew that we had... the women's championship and then the championship after that. So we didn't want to, you know, it was like, that was the piss break really.
Yeah. It's a shame.
That was,
I mean, I don't know.
That was the death spot that usually is the second to last match.
I hope Shinsuke, you know, whenever this run, before this run ends, you know, cause he's starting to get up there in his career. I just hope he can really, you know, have some good matches. He hasn't really had any memorable matches on the main roster at all.
He hasn't really. Well, hopefully he'll get a match with Daniel Bryan, who wanted to have a match with him.
Yeah, they had a dark one. It's on YouTube. You can find it.
Yeah. You know the story, right? When he was the Intercontinental Champion, he pitched the idea that Shinsuke, who at the time was the IWGP Intercontinental Champion, that they would have an interpromotional match.
Well, actually, we just found out that Jericho pitched that for SummerSlam.
He did,
Seth Rollins.
Yeah. But
so,
as Mr. Draco would say, that's awesome. So it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now that New Japan's going to be running the garden, I don't know if Vince is going to want to be doing business with them.
No,
I don't think so.
Probably not.
And Ronda wins. She's the champ now. She beat up Stephanie again just to show that, hey, I'm still going to fucking beat you up. And there's really nothing else to say about that. Hopefully she's there more often than Brock was. So
hopefully, yeah.
She made a point to say that on Raw. I'm not Brock Lesnar. I'm going to be here.
And people were like, oh my God, you're not. And then they realize that she's not Brock Lesnar. And see, everybody's been seeing her as Brock Lesnar the whole time.
I know, but didn't realize that she's a female.
And then they snapped her out of the spell. And now it's like, oh, you're Ronda Rousey. She's like, yep, I was in the Entourage movie.
So just too fucking long.
Yeah.
Too long, and there's some good things buried in there, but
I for one am happy that SummerSlam isn't going to be back here next year because I don't want to go.
Yeah, I didn't go in 2015. I went to like NXT and Raw, and then in 2016 I went, and that was that fucking god awful Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton main event.
I actually sold my.
Like, I don't want to go here.
We sold the Raw tickets. We ended up leftover SmackDown tickets, so I actually went to SmackDown.
Yeah, so you're really trying hard to sell the SmackDown. I don't know why you bought both of those.
We got the bundle. We got the 4 days.
Oh, I was going to say, that's like I could not do 4 days.
Yeah,
like
because those went on sale first, and we decided like you know if we want to secure decent seats, we got to like buy the first tickets to come available. And then we just said, all right, so we'll go. We know we're going to NXT and SummerSlam. We'll just try to sell the Raw and SmackDown tickets. The worst case scenario is we go to Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, so I wouldn't want to go to fucking Brooklyn 4 days in a row, let alone the Barclays Center.
Yeah,
it's
a quick ride, so it's not that bad.
I mean, I just don't want to be physically in Brooklyn.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, man, SmackDown is just like I'd say a quarter of the crowd that shows up for the other events is at SmackDown, and they don't even have the merch truck outside for SmackDown like they do for the other three.
Yeah,
yeah, wow. Like. It's just like they just don't care, and like, and then as soon as fucking the show ends and 205 Live starts, like another third of the crowd just leaves.
Jesus!
And then they trick you again. They go because the way that they get a lot of people to stay is that they have like a dark main event that's like a SmackDown main event. So they'll say like
they'll try to announce it.
So well, yeah, they'll announce it during a commercial break. So what they did was going to be Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan was the main event of the evening. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's going to be a fucking awesome match. That's a cool thing to see. So the match was about 30 seconds. It ended in a DQ. And
oh my God.
And then, The Miz came out, and him and Samoa Joe double-teamed Daniel Bryan, and then AJ made the save, and they just kind of had like a brawl for like a good minute or two, and then that was the end of it, the night. And it was like, okay, so like people that actually like didn't want to see 205 Live and waited for this ended up like missing, you know, they could have just left and like, they got tricked into staying.
Yeah, I'm never fucking gonna. I never want to go to TV.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I mean, I still.
Are you finally coming with me?
I'll still go to like a Raw after WrestleMania. Those are still
like all right. Raw after WrestleMania would be the only thing I'd do, even though I still don't want to do that. But I would only do that if I'm going to WrestleMania wherever it is with a group of people, and everyone else is on board. Like we want to stay. We want to stay Monday night. And we want to go to Raw after Mania. I'd be like, all right, if that's what we're doing, then yeah. I'm doing it. But if, like, luckily for me, the last, like, bunch of times, I think I went in 2016 because everyone wanted to go because mm-hmm. I was with Sean and Danielle and they wanted to go. So I'm like, fuck it, whatever, I'll go. But Orlando, thankfully no one wanted to fucking go. And New Orleans, like, no one gave a shit. So I was just like, cool, thank God.
NXT, definitely worth it. Whatever the pay-per-view is that weekend, I'll go to. I don't want to go to the pre-show, but I'll go to the show. And
because like I think Raw is just awful as it is anyway, so like why would I ever want to sit there? Like I barely watch Raw. I skim through it.
Oh damn, people. And I finally got the stream working. People are saying they can't hear us. God damn it. All right.
Well, I mean, I have to go to work.
All right, we pretty much ran through everything we need to run through. I mean, I guess we didn't really get to too much Raw and SmackDown, but who the hell cares? Raw's the same show every week. Ha ha ha. Anyway, you've been listening to the Doing a Jive Wrestling podcast. If you like what you heard, check us out, dtjwrestling.com. You could hear us on Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. We are on iTunes, Google Play, pretty much everywhere you can get a podcast, you could find us. If you want to throw me an email, it's m2j@dtjwrestling.com. Get very few and far between of those. So if you want to let your voice be heard, it's more than welcome. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/doingthejob. We stream live on Facebook. Not like our faces, but our voices. Every week. So, well, I don't know why I'm saying every week. It's actually every month now. If you missed last week's show, we actually recently moved to pretty much a monthly format. We're not doing the show every week anymore. Our lives are just too busy, and It's hard enough to find time to sit down for several hours and talk about wrestling, and that also insists in that case that we watch said wrestling, which basically just becomes a part-time job at that point. And Lord knows we ain't making any money off of this, so just not gonna happen. So yeah, keep subscribed, keep checking our Facebook for any updates to keep abreast of our situations when we're doing a show. We're probably going to do one before and after WWE pay-per-views, since that's what garners the most attention. And that's pretty much all I've got to say. For Shawn Michaels Spurge and Denny Lugs, I'm M2J saying, we don't do the job, we are the job. Good night, folks.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.